All right.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
Thank you.
Dumbass.
When you see a dumbass in the news, send it to dumbassnews@chazandajinthemorning.com. Coming up, we got a guy who hung out with the Beatles. Oh. What were the top three moments hanging out with the Beatles? Okay. What about this kid? How many times can a kid drop an F-bomb in 30 seconds? How old would you say this kid is? Five, seven?
Six.
Now I'm thinking like eight.
I was going to say eight or nine.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think it's five or six.
I love this kid.
All right. Go ahead.
Next weekend, it's going to be so nice, like 60, 65, like that. We could sit outside on the porch.
No, the lockdown. A lockdown is when you sit the f*** inside, not the f*** outside. Do you know what a lockdown is? When you sit the f*** inside.
How long would this last in your house when you were a kid?
About the first word, halfway through, my dad's knuckles in my face.
I hear my father say, what'd you say?
Yeah, no. I wouldn't have gotten that. I would have
just
got a whap.
And that would stop everything right there.
I would have gotten
nothing.
Yep.
That's best case scenario.
You
that's how much time
like
you get.
Somebody shrunk Joe Pesci.
yes. They put Pesci in the dryer.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine him getting smaller than he already is.
Right. We could sit outside on the porch.
The lockdown is when you stay the f*** inside, not the f*** outside.
Wow, this kid definitely saw Goodfellas.
Yep, Goodfellas.
right?
Little Italian kid,
Sopranos,
I love him.
Sopranos something.
Right. Yes.
Yep. Little gold chain going on.
That's so funny. He's such a cutie.
How am I cute?
Mm.
No nonsense.
No, you don't want to mess with him.
Right.
His hair's perfect, by the way. Yeah. It annoys me.
It is, yeah.
God damn it.
And his, you know, his mother just annoys him so much with her stupid ideas.
Well, he's trying to watch TV.
Can you imagine having a kid and then every time you say something, it's like, hey, you stupid effing idiot. Right. This is what's happening.
Right. Why the F are you
like,
talking?
Oh, my God. Are you a 40-year-old man in an 8-year-old body?
Can't you see him watching the effing TV over here?
Yeah.
So you plan on staying in the house till, like, June?
The f***ing lockdown. You have to stay the f***ing inside. Not the f***ing outside. What the Do you hear the news?
How am I funny? What the F is so funny about me? Tell me.
We gotta save that clip.
I'm telling you, that's Pesci. What the F is so funny?
Do you hear the news?
But right before that, you could hear his brain's like, oh my God, I can't believe how stupid this person is.
You need me to tell you?
I want to see him on Santa's lap.
What the F outside? What the Do you hear the news?
That, right there. He's like, I can't calculate how stupid you are.
just got stung by a bee.
Go make me a cappuccino.
Sounds like going to a mosquito. Flies into one of the bug zappers.
God, I love this kid.
Me too.
Somewhere there's a man in his life who speaks just like this.
Absolutely.
A lockdown is not when you say the f*** outside. It should be the outdown, not the lockdown.
I have a feeling
this guy in his life
wears a muscle shirt a lot. Right. Maybe a gold chain.
May have to shave his shoulders every now and then.
Right.
Hair slicked back.
Right. This could be a lot of time with grandpa.
Yes, it could be.
I think he's got a father, uncle, grandfather, cousin that sort of all talk the same way and agree on everything.
I'm guessing he works at some kind of social club.
He's already a mechanic for 3 years. What are you talking about? Yeah.
Nice Italian family. Yeah.
And when the kid was just a baby,
they never
walked up to the baby and said, oh, look at the cute little baby.
Never.
So, what's your effing problem, baby?
Right. Yes. Say, hey, look at this effing kid over here.
What did you effing go in your effing diaper? That's what the effing toilet's for, you stupid effing baby.
I told you, don't effing ass in your diaper.
But I'm just the baby.
Nah. You go in the toilet like everyone else. I'm not cleaning this ass.
Yeah, his mobile has like little figures from The Godfather on it. It plays the music.
This is a story about Goldilocks and the three effing bears.
This kid should have a pinky ring on.
He should. I think he does. It's made of plastic, but
his little toy car, you know, those little battery operated cars, is a Cadillac.
It's a limo, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
A black Cadillac with New York plates.
And look, it's got a trunk that opens.
Do you hear the news?
Now, where's my freaking pasta?
Oh, where's this kid from? I would say we'd have to get this kid out, but we don't have enough time in the dump button.
No,
he's probably listening right now.
Yeah, right?
Probably somewhere on the island.
Yeah, it sounds like Long Island.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think in Nassau County.
In lockdown inside, the inside. Not the one went out to parties in the casino.
I thought the same thing. The casino.
The kid knows the casinos.
Wow.
Wow.
He's been there before.
They got the Barney slot machines over there. I love you. You love me.
We're a big effing happy family.
We're the effing family.
That's one of those birthday parties the clown goes to and leaves beaten.
Right.
Without a shoe. Yeah. Bloodied. What the hell just happened? I just got rolled by 8 kids. It's Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Paul Saltzman hung out with the Beatles. He's the president of Sunrise Films, and he has a movie out called Meeting the Beatles in India. Hey, Paul.
Good morning, Chaz and AJ. How are you guys?
Good morning.
Thank you.
See, he has a great voice. He should be host of Jeopardy.
Welcome back to the show. Give us a quick reminder how you got a chance to hang out with the most famous band in the history of the planet.
The short version is I woke up in Montreal. I live in Toronto, but I was working for the National Film Board of Canada in Montreal. I woke up one morning, I was 23, and I had the shocking thought. I thought everything was going good in my life, and I had the shocking thought that there were parts of myself I didn't like. That led me to go to India. I got a letter from my girlfriend breaking up with me. Dear Paul, I've moved in with Henry was the first line of her letter. And I was devastated. Somebody said, why don't you try meditation for the heartbreak? I said, I'll try anything. And that led to the Maharishi's ashram north of New Delhi in the foothills of the Himalayas. And I didn't even know the Beatles were in India. I just hadn't read that news. And I got to the gates of the ashram and they said, we're sorry. We can't teach you, you can't come in because the Beatles and their wives are here. So I waited outside the gates for 8 days. Guys, it wasn't good news they were there. I was a fan, but I was so desperate for something to deal with the heartbreak. So that's how I met them.
You weren't there as a groupie. You were there for healing.
Right.
And you're like, great, the Beatles are here. Now no one can get it.
And I'm going to write a song about me too, damn it.
Say that again?
I'm going to write a song about you.
I don't know. You know, they wrote a song called Rocky Raccoon, but I don't think it's about me.
Check again.
So the album that came after this whole experience with them was the White Album?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Give us the top three moments you remember hanging out with them.
Well, the most intimate moments, I mean, Paul was the most outwardly friendly, playful, so that was fun. All four of them were absolutely remarkably down to earth. No star stuff. No star ego. Very, very warm with me. Very embracing. They were very close with each other. You could see they were like a band of brothers, like family. The most intimate conversations were with George and John. With John, you know, no one was getting in. There were about 25, 30 press people arrive at the gates of the ashram every day. And because, you know, the Beatles were the biggest in the world. And so it was big news. What are they doing in this strange place? So about 20, 25 press people would come every day. They couldn't get in. So the Maharishi would come out and give a press conference every day. And I was just waiting. So I would listen in on all of this. But one day after I got in and after I learned meditation, which was a miracle, a 30-minute meditation and the agony of the heartbreak was gone. Like,
wow.
Who knew?
Right? Wow.
Yeah, just amazing. And one day I'm sitting at the table by the cliff where we would all hang up, and everyone had gotten up to leave for whatever reason, maybe getting ready for a meal. And John was sitting there, and he was writing music in his notebook, and I was just finishing a cup of chai. And he looked up at me, and he said in a very dear way, he said, "So what are you doing here?" And he, because no one was allowed in. And I just said about the heartbreak and the meditation and the miracle of it. And he was very, very dear with me. He looked off in the distance for a moment, and then he looked back at me, and he said, "Ah, yes, love can be very tough on us sometimes, can't it, Paul?" And I said, "Yeah." And then he looked off in the distance again, and he looked back, and he said to me again, in a very kind way, he said, "But you know, the really great thing about love, Paul, is you always get another chance." And he couldn't have said something nicer, more important to me in that moment. You know, you may be still hurting, but you always get another chance. So that was the most intimate with John.
That's nuts.
Right.
Right. Well, that's the thing that they were able to do, take a very complex idea and emotion like love and boil it down to 2.5 minutes.
Exactly.
In a rhyme.
Yep.
That will live forever.
Said, hey, right? It's so, a high love way.
In a second, he just got the whole thing. A very complex moment of your life. Just, you always get another chance.
What I do.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I think that's brilliant of you. I think that's a great observation that was the poets in them. Their remarkable and seemingly innate ability to create remarkable poetry to music, you know, remarkable concepts. And the most intimate other conversation was with George, and it was the same thing. We were all sitting at the table by the cliff where we'd have tea and snacks and hang out and chat. And everyone got up to leave, and George was sitting there. And again, it was another day. I was finishing a cup of chai, and no one ever talked shop sitting around. In the week, I spent a week with them, and no one ever talked shop. But in that moment, I said to George, "You know, I love the way you brought the sitar into Norwegian wood and Beatles music." And he just lit up, and he must have spent 5-10 minutes telling me about his finding the sitar on the set of Help when they were filming Help, and he picked it up and he plunked away, and that's what caught his interest. And then someone gave him a Ravi Shankar record, and then Ravi Shankar came to London, so George arranged to meet him, and then Ravi Shankar became his teacher, and George and Patty went to Bombay a few times off and on in, I think, 66 67, and he studied intensely with Shankar for 6 months or more. So he sang all this, and in very, you know, alive and excited, his love of that instrument. And then he said, "I was just going to go practice. Do you want to come?" And I said, "Great." And I didn't even think of getting my camera. I think I mentioned last time we spoke, I only took out my camera twice in the week I was with him. I literally just didn't think about it. I took out.
It would have been weird too, right? Because there's 35 photographers outside wanting to get in.
Yeah.
They're not letting anyone in. They let you in, and then you pull out your camera.
Start snapping away.
I think all of a sudden you'd find yourself outside.
Like, right.
Oh, damn it. Hold on. I want to hear the rest of this. We got to take a break. Paul Saltzman,
sure.
Filmmaker and president of Sunrise Films. The movie is Meeting the Beatles in India. We're linked up to all Paul's stuff at WPLR.com, 95.9thefox.com. This guy hung out with the Beatles and, boy, has some great stories. So we were in the middle, I think, of your story with George.
Yep. So he said, "Do you want to come? I'm going to go practice." I didn't even think of getting my camera. One of the joys of making the film Meeting the Beatles in India was that I could illustrate these stories with graphic novel animation, meaning I could show people kind of how lovely they were by telling these stories and having a visual, a graphic novel illustration. So we go to a small meditation room, and I mean, it's like, excuse me, it's about 10 feet by 12 feet, and there's just futons on the floor and a sitar, and everything was white. We were wearing the white khadi cotton clothes that are so comfortable, the traditional Indian clothes. And he picked up the sitar and he started playing, and the room was small enough that I was, 3 feet from him. And he started playing, and I just closed my eyes. And the thing that was amazing and unexpected was when he stopped playing, I didn't know whether he had played for 10 minutes or 30 minutes. Time really shifted, and I opened my eyes, and I was stoned. I was in a state of bliss. It's like I'd smoked a joint. I was high just from the music, and we had a remarkable conversation. And he was 24 years old at that moment, and I was 24. And he said with remarkable humility, George was a man who truly was a humble human being. And he said he got higher meditating than he ever did on drugs. And I knew what he meant because that had happened to me on the first meditation when the heartbreak was so alleviated. And then he said something that was life-changing for me. He said, and again, with just humility, he said, like, we're the Beatles, after all, aren't we? We have all the money you could ever wish for. We have all the fame you could ever dream of. But it isn't love. It isn't health. It isn't peace inside, is it? And that changed my life.
Wow. It seems like it's a dream. A dream.
I like to have the money first and find out.
AJ's okay with getting the money and still.
Let me have the money and the fame first. Let you know about the last part.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. My second film documentary, which was about 5 years later, was funded by a very rich guy who wanted the film made that I wanted to make. It was an hour-long documentary. And I was 28 years old, and it was like the second part of my growing up education, because this very rich guy says to me over dinner when we're planning to make the film, he said, you know, Paul, money is just a tool. It's like a hammer or a saw. And if you think it's anything more, you're lost.
Wow.
Well, I need tools.
So those two things, what George said and what this multimillionaire said, really impacted my young years.
It's interesting. If you talk to anyone who has achieved success or happiness, they meditate.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I meditate by buying
things. It's the equivalent of turning the engine off. AJ, can you imagine if you left your car engine running?
Right.
For years.
Yeah.
And you never turned it off.
Any money for gas?
Yeah. You would.
Yeah. Those are my cars.
Wow. What an experience.
That's a great analogy, by the way. That's a great analogy. If you left your car running for years and then you turn it off and all of a sudden it's quiet. Yeah. All of a sudden there's peace.
Especially my car.
Yeah. This is, I should have watched this over the vacation break. I watched all these stupid movies like Snowpiercer.
Right.
And I could have watched this one. I'm going to watch. This is on my list to watch this weekend, Meeting the Beatles in India. Paul, thanks for coming on and sharing the stories. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. And let me know what the film feels like to you.
I will. We will have you back because we got to talk about Morgan Freeman. There's a lot more to talk to you about.
Happy to do it, you guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Paul. Paul Saltzman, filmmaker. We're linked up to his stuff at WPLR.com and 95.9 at Fox.com. All right, an 87-year-old man was rescued from his car stuck in a rushing river. Here's a little bit of the news report. So this is the video clip from the guy with his cell phone, right?
A wild scene yesterday in Danielson. An elderly man drives his car into the 5 Mile River. A Good Samaritan risking his own life to save the man and an officer doing the same. The entire scene caught on camera.
It was here where that 87-year-old man went off the road, crashing through the fence, going 25 feet down into the icy river. A man trapped in his car with a freezing current rushing by. His car stuck on rocks after making a 25-foot fall into 5 Mile River in Danielson. It was just before noon on Saturday when witnesses heard the car go off the road.
Heard this loud, like, crash, really loud noise. I actually thought the car behind me, like, hit the guardrail or something.
Dennis Durand caught the moments as a bystander, an officer, climbed down a fence into the river to try and calm the 87-year-old man down.
All right, so Dennis Durand, glad he got it on camera.
Yeah.
You know, if you see someone in a terrible situation,
maybe you could
pull out your cell phone.
Yeah.
I don't know. You could also go down the hill and help. But
make a phone call. That's good. Cops. Well,
everyone has to do what they feel comfortable doing.
Exactly right.
I filming. I hope we called 911 first.
Filming is his thing. Capturing them. Yeah.
Deputy Chief Jason Burgess with the Danielson Fire Department is on now. Hey, nice work.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Hey, how scary was that? So what happened? How did he drive off the, he hit the brake and gas instead of the brake?
GPS to make a right.
Missed a turn or ice or how did that happen?
Yeah, from what we could gather, after everything was said and done, it sounds like he might have had a medical emergency. And he drove off the road. And unfortunately, I crashed through the fence there and right down into the river.
Now, medical emergency. Wow. That's even becomes worse when he's down there in the water.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right?
Got to get him out of there first.
And then, all right. So tell us what happened next. You guys get on the scene and like, oh, holy crap. We got some work to do.
Yeah. When we got there, as you saw the video, there was a bystander that was down in the river, and one of the troopers was down there as well, trying to figure out what was going on with him and seeing what kind of condition he's in. So we were able to get three of our guys into some dry suits, and we lowered them down on rope onto the car, where we figured out what we needed to do to get them out of the car. So we had to cut off the roof, and we lifted them out with a basket.
Cut off the roof.
Wow.
Yep.
All right, so the trooper and the guy who's down there, are they on top of the car? Like, did they climb on the roof of the car to get him? Like, was he covered in water? Like, how high was the water level?
The water was running pretty good. I mean, the water was up to about halfway up the doorway on the car.
Wow.
So he was sitting in the in the driver's seat, behind the wheel, obviously frightened. And the two gentlemen were on top of the car trying to get inside and
dangerous.
Just talk to him and see what's going on.
Wow.
Poor guy.
So he was alert.
So you see this. Yeah. Are you on scene?
Yes, I was. Yeah, I was down there. I was in charge of the operations.
Okay. So first thing you do, do you try to tie the car up so it doesn't go down the river?
Once we were able to get one of our rescuers down there, we lowered a rope and we secured the rope up above so that way the car wouldn't move. It appeared as though it was lodged up against the rocks. But we don't want to take a chance. We want to make sure that it's secure for everybody.
Yeah, you don't want to turn a rescue of one people into a rescue of three, and we lost one.
Exactly,
and we don't know where he is. And
right, where'd the car go? Yep.
AJ, this is all, you guys are volunteer, right, Chief?
Yes, correct.
Yep.
Can you believe that?
I know.
We have men and women who train for this stuff.
Right.
Instead of, hanging out and having beer and watching TV.
Right.
They're out training for this stuff.
Exactly.
And they know exactly what to do when this happens.
Right, and they spring into action.
So you tie up the car, and then you're cutting the roof off. Wow, that's nuts.
Yep. That was a convertible.
Yeah, that was the only way we could get the gentleman out of the vehicle.
And you have to put something over him as you're cutting because of sparks and metal flying, or how does that work?
With Jaws of Life?
Yeah, we put a blanket over him. We told him what was going on. We said we're just going to put this blanket over you to protect you. We have to cut the roof off in order to get you out.
So,
constant communication with
him. I'd be like, don't scratch the paint.
But AJ, it's not just, 87-year-old guy in a car had a medical condition. He's down an embankment, and then now we're cutting the roof off. There's water running.
Oh,
in the river.
Yeah.
Can you get cold?
I saw the video,
Can you get the sound effect of like a rapid river?
Okay.
That'd be me in the men's room about 5 minutes ago. I really had to go.
Yeah. Okay. How long did it take you to cut? How long was he in the water the whole time?
So from when he went in until we got him out, it was about 40 minutes altogether.
Oh. Wow.
Yep.
Which I think was pretty quick considering the
That is quick.
And you said his car fell like 25 feet, right?
Yeah.
So luckily it landed on its wheels, not on the roof. Maybe it's worse.
Absolutely, yes. It's very lucky.
Probably would have had a whole different story then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd have been goner.
All right, so let's hear this sound effect.
Now, can you imagine everything you're doing?
Right.
So you have this in the background.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, all right, this is what we're going to do.
You what? This water's making me out of pain.
I know you're wet and cold.
Right.
All right, we're going to put this blanket over you, then we're going to cut the roof off.
Okay.
a paper boat first? Is that no?
Yes, that's a no.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
Wow, what a dramatic rescue.
Mm-hmm. And how is he now?
Well, I want to hear, so the roof comes off.
Roof comes off, right.
And then what do you do? Because before you take his seatbelt off, you got to make sure he doesn't go like, gone.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, damn it.
You got to secure him first, right. Here, hold my hand.
We forgot that one step. We should have really tied a rope to him.
Right. Take my hand.
Yeah, after all that.
Take my hand.
Right, you got to tie, do you tie a rope around him? Or how does that, a vest, a life jacket?
Yeah, so as soon as the roof came off, we were ready to go with the basket. We've got a ladder truck. So we turned the ladder truck around and we dropped the basket. So it was right there in the car, and the three rescuers were able to put them right into the basket.
Nice. Wow.
Nice. Yeah, very nice.
And then you drag them up the hill, or it's, or the ladder truck, it has it in the air.
Yeah, we lifted them up with the ladder truck. Yep.
Like a gravel machine.
Off of
Yeah.
Right, like one of those machines in the store.
Right, he's
the
lobster harmonica. Exactly, right.
Yeah. Wow. But also, you know, I've seen those rescues where they don't tie the basket right, and then now it's twirling.
Oh, my God. That lady was spinning the time on the helicopter.
In the wind.
She sued them because she had, like, a million revolutions.
She's just permanently dizzy now.
I heard she's still walking funny.
I remember watching that video thinking you would just see vomit. Like, if that were me.
Everybody's like, ah, my shirt. Son of a, my car.
Yeah, and everyone down below is like, ugh.
Oh, God.
That rope.
You don't want to yawn.
So you lift him out, and then he goes off to the hospital. Yeah, and AJ asked a good question. How's he doing now?
I'm not sure. We haven't gotten an update recently, so I don't know if he's still in the hospital or not.
Right.
I'm not sure.
Well, I imagine hypothermia, right, in the water. It's kind of cold.
Yeah, the water was definitely cold.
But then whatever the medical emergency was, and then there's driving down a 25-foot embankment.
Then there's shrinkage, too. So, yeah.
Right.
All that.
Well, Deputy Chief Jason Burgess, thanks for coming on. Nice job.
Yeah, man.
Really.
You and your crew.
Thank you very much.
Where was the chief?
Thank you, yeah. He was out of town at the time.
Having coffee somewhere.
Yeah, you guys had all the fun.
Yep.
That's if you're a deputy chief, you want one of these, right?
You do. Like, hey, chief.
Sit this one out, chief. We got this.
Yeah. Right? It's okay.
Yeah.
Have your cocoa.
Yeah.
I like that. The deputy chief.
Here's some more marshmallows for you.
Chief, then a deputy chief.
So. Chief, yep.
All right. Well, nice job to you and your crew.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for everything you do every
day. Absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
All right.
Great work, man.
He's gone, Phil.
Man.
There's no way that you prepare for that specific incident where you got to bring the jaws of life down into a river.
Yeah. Ugh.
That's a really good job.
Oh, is it the jaws of life or is it a saw?
I don't know.
They have both of those. They have the jaws of life and they have
the
saws.
Then you got to pull it.
Right.
The whole deal, though, is like the car is in a raging river.
Yes.
It's a whole new twist, you know, down an embankment. So the tools have to come down. There's ropes. There's lines. You got to tie the car off.
Yeah.
The sound of this river going is, yeah. What'd you say?
I said, how you doing today?
Well, what do you want us to do, Chief?
I said we get that guy out of the water.
Well, we know. How do you want to do it?
I don't know. I'm open to suggestions.
Well, why don't we tie the car off first so it doesn't go down the river?
That's a good suggestion.
Okay.
Right, this is why I'm chief.
What do you want us to use?
I don't know. I'm going to go with a rope on this one.
A rope? Okay.
A heavy one, not twine, though.
All right, which rope do you want?
The thick one.
Okay.
Not the hemp one. I need that one for later.
All right, you guys up there, we need a thick rope.
One thick rope coming up.
All right, what do you want to do next?
Let's think about this for a second here.
See, this is exactly why we would never be called out.
Nah.
Like, I don't know. What do you think we should do?
I'm wearing new shoes.
I don't know. What do you think we should do?
Let's think about it.
I'm wearing new shoes. I'm going to win. So.
You ready for a Coco?
Who wants Coco? We could rescue him. Okay, Coco.
Those two guys who ran right down that embankment.
Right down.
And
right
got
down.
Right on the car.
Yes, they did.
Trooper and just a regular dude driving down the road. That's big time.
Yep.
80 87.
On a Monday.
Yeah. Poor guy.
On a Monday. What was he doing on a Monday? Usually it's Tuesdays are out.
He's 87 on Tuesday and Wednesday also.
Yeah, but 80 Tuesdays, the old driver. And, okay, Snotball. That's what I'm going here.
Snotball.
Okay, here's the deal, okay? On Tuesdays, the seniors drive around for their discount, okay? You got that Disney P?
To be fair to Ashley, not all of us know that information. that's just living in there
Trust
in
me,
your
if
brain.
Anyways, near Cherry Street in Milford. It's like Dawn of the Not Quite Dead yet.
Right.
They jump in their cars and they go through lights with their virtual reality sunglasses
and
on.
And now this has become about AJ again.
Right. No, it has not.
Yes, it has.
It's all about AJ.
We're talking about this rescue.
God, and I hope it's a jackpot Powerball.
Is it over 600 now?
God, I can't wait. No, Mega Millions over 600. Parables in the five.
Not that you're paying attention.
I'm guessing that you wouldn't be here tomorrow if you hit.
There'd be a note.
I don't think there'd even be that.
Your guys.
Printer broke. Went to buy several new ones.
Printer broke and so did I.
Is she a comedian? Is she a fitness instructor? Is she a world-class chef?
What is she?
Is she a sexy Instagram model? What is she, really?
What is she?
She's all things. It's like five superpowers combined.
Right.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, Karen Feehan. Friend of the program.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year. Probably shouldn't be
Happy
saying
Happy New
anymore.
Year.
Meta New Year.
I thought you guys were going to start playing Shaka Khan's I'm Every Woman. I thought that was going to
Because you're all of them.
Kick in.
Right.
I'm just trying my best. I'm doing certainly not a world-class chef. I caught that dig.
That was not a dig. That was a compliment.
Yes.
Cooking with Karen.
That was genuine.
Well, I enjoy it. It's the one cooking show that I can watch because it's edited.
Right.
It's everything you want in just a couple minutes.
Right.
AJ, you learn how to cook. You laugh.
I don't feel so bad. I don't cook now. Yes.
I saw 1 2-minute version where the first 90 seconds she talks about the Wii that her mom gave her.
Right.
Yes, I just saw that.
And that PB&J came out great, by the way.
Yeah.
I had to feed a bunch of my dog too.
Yeah.
No, my mom's weed. It's really not bad. I think she's had a lot of time to give it some tender love and care. And it's a new. She's knitting. She's growing weed and just trying not to talk to my dad.
Right.
But she's knitting, and then there's one arm missing,
right.
Or
right.
It's a glove with like eight fingers.
And the Oreo
weed is so good.
And the Oreo souffle was fantastic. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah.
How old is she? Has she been smoking weed since she was a kid? Is this something she just started?
Oh no. This is all new. She's in her 60s. You know, there was a very strong stigma about marijuana in my house growing up anyway. I went to private school.
Right.
You got caught smoking weed. You were grounded, kiddo. You're not going anywhere.
Right.
You smoking dope?
Right. And you give that to dad.
You smoking that pot?
Right. Oh, my gosh, in the pot. Yeah. Right.
What got her started? Was it you?
Yeah. We cut to 20 years later, she's got arthritis and she's had multiple surgeries. And it's, you know, the sort of the best, nobody wants to get hooked on opium. You know what I mean? So like, it's sort of the best painkiller, you know, for her, the most natural one. It works. She enjoys it.
But I heard knitters are, you know, the best knitters are take opium. And never mind. What are you doing? Are you making something right now?
What are you, like a pope?
You're playing the bell?
Can you hear that?
Yes.
Can you hear that?
Yes.
Wow. I have my Beats headphones on. Shout out to Apple. They are really picking things up. I made myself a matcha latte that I was stirring because sometimes the powder doesn't really dissolve enough.
What are you using?
I mean, that reminds
Bing, bang, bang. I'm like, what are you doing? The wall?
sorry, you guys aren't used to the sound of metal spoons clacking.
Not ones that big. Like a cauldron.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I'm trying to stay away from the caffeine. I'm doing mushroom coffee and matcha lattes. That's my new thing.
You know what's weird? You're the one person who's really healthy. And you eat healthy. And I think even with that, I would like hanging out with you. Like most people who eat healthy, I think I would.
Are boring.
I would not want to go to a restaurant.
Yeah. Or the lecture.
This is just, oh my God, we can only have three grapes for lunch.
Right.
Like, are you kidding me?
This is not fun.
Do you know what's in that burger? Right. No, I don't care.
All right.
Yeah. Like a vegan, like they faint in the middle of ordering their meal at restaurants. It's like, they're never a good time.
They do.
They're never fun.
They eat the menu, so.
I got a colonic a couple weeks ago. Highly recommend. I don't know if you guys are into that. And I actually do eat, like, I eat healthy, but I eat meat. I eat dairy. I like, you know, protein and stuff that gives me energy. And my colonic lady was not into that at all. She's like, well, that's why you have all this gas.
What's wrong with that?
What's a colonic? It's like what? It's like Alka-Seltzer in your butt or what?
Who is speaking right now?
That was me.
He does that.
In their butt.
There's at least one of those every interview.
Yeah, it's a warm hydrotherapy that you know just gets rid of all the toxins. But for the first 10 minutes of mine, I was making a little personal jacuzzi by beside myself.
That's what I was going to say. You have a lot of effervescence going down there.
So she was like, what could be causing all this? And I was like, you know, I eat meat. I eat dairy. And she's like, I hate, eat only vegetables. And I was like, listen, you drudge poop out of people for a living. I don't have to take your advice. Okay. Like, just do your job. Let me get out of here.
It's like you're pooping pate.
Karen Feehan's on, comedian. We're linked up to her stuff at WPR.com, 95.9thefox.com. She's at the stand tomorrow through Saturday, weather permitting. What's that been like?
I the last time I did a show, the next comic said, keep it going for the sleeping bag, because I've been wearing layers and layers of leggings because it's like 30 degrees out there and you're out there at night and trying to entertain people. And God bless the audiences that are coming out. We've got blankets, you know, we've got heaters, we're feeding you, we're giving you booze to keep you warm on the inside.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I just... It's about mental health too. If I don't get to, you know, perform and like make people laugh, I get really bummed out. So I'll do whatever.
Plus all those vegetables, good you're outside. So.
Right, exactly. Nice deals. 2 for 1. Absolutely.
Don't go behind the stage. Yeah. Yes.
The greatest thing about this time for stand-ups is it's like you're punching your way through. And when we get to the other side and you have audiences and they're drunk in a nice environment,
Can't wait.
You're right.
Yep.
And when you find a tough audience, you'll be like, that's nothing.
Yeah. I had these four people at one time.
I played to two people in a parking lot in 30-degree weather.
That was a sold-out show.
Yes. Yeah.
They didn't beep or nothing.
I was flirting with a guy because he had the best lawn chair in the crowd.
I like a cup holder.
Right, what is that? That's like a BMW. Is that a chaise lounge? Wow. Who are you, sir?
That one looks really comfortable for my next colonic.
That one has a roof over it.
What is this OnlyFans thing you're doing now?
Oh, you know, hopefully my father isn't listening. You know, it's just a little fun thing. I have an OnlyFans, and then I also have a podcast called OnlyFans. So I've sort of trademarked their logo and made it my own. My OnlyFans, is you can find it, it's out there. I don't really lead with it, but I'm not ashamed of it. There's a lot of great content if that's what you're into.
What kind of content?
There's some sexy stuff on there. I am of age.
Good.
I work out and I'm over the age of 18. So if you want to come check out my hot body, by all means. But then OnlyFans is just like a weekly podcast I do with another comedian named Jared Schwartz. And he's 24. He lives on Staten Island. So we don't exactly have similar perspectives. And we kind of just talk about comedy and what it's like, you know, trying to do shows and doing different projects and animations and other content that we can make while we're sort of, you know, stuck inside.
Yeah. You guys have good chemistry, and I like the dating advice you gave him, that he needs to work out for a certain reason.
he bought a set of weights. You'll see on the next episode, he bought a set of weights because he's 24. I mean, I was a mess in my 20s. I didn't start working out until I had to. But it's like you're young. You're not doing much else. Why not put on some muscle? Feel good about yourself. You know, he's tall.
At 24, you got to be able to do more than 20 push-ups.
Yep.
Right? I'm like, what are you?
Dinging. It sounds like
she's still making her try.
It sounds like you're juggling.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
How
you're
much
juggling
do you
China.
I want to hear what it sounds like. You guys sound like I'm playing like three triangles right now.
That's what it sounds like.
Three angels got their wings, by the way.
Yeah. All right, we got to roll. We're going to have you back real soon. It's always fun to have you on. And we're linked up to all things Karen Feehan at WPLR.com and 95.9thefox.com. The Stand tomorrow through Saturday, weather permitting in New York. Thanks, Karen.
Thanks for having me. Nice talking to you guys.